Okay. So I'm assuming that we're going to have a few people just popping in and joining us throughout, but this is week three of Prep and Practice Bootcamp. And so this is the week on ideal client. And this is really, like we were saying before the recording started, this is really the most important, I find, of all the weeks that we have in the program, because if you don't know some of the stuff that we're working on this week, it makes it a lot harder to do the marketing. It makes it a lot harder to do the logistics. It just makes a lot of things harder because a lot of it comes down to who is your client, and if you're not really sure who that is, it makes that tough. So now, Janine.
Yeah.
Seems like for some reason we're picking up a lot of the outside noise.
Oh, whenever I move, kind of thing?
Yeah, so I'm not sure.
Okay. I don't know what to do about that.
No, that's okay. Just so you know, it seems to be.
I can sit still.
Yeah. With your shuffling.
Okay.
That's okay.
Oh, goodness.
So now I know today what we were going to do is Courtney was going to do a bit of a hot seat. So I'm going to actually go through live coaching with her as far as helping her get her ideal client sorted out. Now, she's not on the call yet, so I know she's coming. But
yeah, I'm here.
Are you here? Oh, there you are. Okay, great. Oh, I see. Oh, there's lots of people here.
I just figured out how to get my microphone on.
Wonderful. Okay, perfect. Okay, that's interesting. It only shows me four people across the top, but I thought there was only the four of us here. So there we go. Good to know. I keep clicking. There's the rest of you. So what we're going to do is we're going to actually go through a quick exercise on how to help you narrow down from all of the information that you've been working on this week, how to help you really combine it into something that is going to make a little bit more sense as far as what your niche is. Because sometimes it can feel like, well, I have this niche over here, this niche over here. And so I emailed everybody this lovely little diagram, which of course is going to not make a whole lot of sense because it doesn't really mean a whole lot at this point. But what it really is I wanted you guys to have a bit of a visual I want you to imagine that this circle here is either your specific population or the specific issue that you work with. So, for example, I was working with a client yesterday with eating disorders. Probably not going to be able to read this. So if we had eating disorders in the middle, and then all of these spokes are things that would be holding that issue in place, or would be concerns that would be coming out of whatever that main issue is. So with eating disorders, when we look at the little spokes, we would have things like anger, impulse control, trauma, relationships, communication, boundaries, things like that. And you can also flip that and say, for example, things like, we'll say elite athletes. We have a few people here that work with elite athletes. You can start looking at, so if my person is an elite athlete, what are, say, six concerns that you know generally would be showing up for that population? And again, it could be relationships, it could be body image, it could be a lot of things, even just self-esteem, confidence. And so what you can do is actually use this exercise to help identify some of those patterns. So if you pick relationships or grief and loss or any of those pieces and do this exercise, you're going to start to notice there's going to be some repetitions in what shows up in those kind of six spokes that are holding that concern in place. And I want you to come at it more from a bit of a clinical hat on, of knowing you actually had this person in front of you, what are the things that you would be assessing for that you know you need to be addressing when they walk through the door, even if they don't necessarily know that all of those pieces are holding their issue in place. So now, does anyone have any questions on that before we get started? It's going to make a lot more sense when we go through it, but if there's anything to be clear at this point. No? Okay.
Seems clear.
Wait, Constance, can you hear me?
I can hear you. Hi, Julia.
Oh, sorry. I just downloaded the thing and I just wanted to make sure that it was working.
Yes, I can hear you. I can't see you. I can see a picture of you, but so your video isn't on, but I can hear your audio. Okay. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to make everybody mute except for Courtney right now, just so we don't hear any background noise. And then we're just going to walk through this quickly, just so you can get a little bit of an experience of how we can start using this. Okay, so just give me 2 seconds. Okay. Courtney. Where did you go, Courtney? Oh no, we've lost her. Okay, so, oh, there we go. I see you again, Courtney.
Sorry, I don't know what happened. It just froze or something.
Okay, let's try that again. I was bringing everybody back. Okay. So now you and I had a chance to quickly chat before, so you had a chance to think about which issue or which population that you wanted to start with for today. So if you had to just pick one group or one concern, what would you say at this point?
I'd start with couples and relationships.
Okay. So let's just start with relationships.
Sure.
At this point? Okay. So, you know, from what you know of relationships and what you know of the clients that you have worked with and like working with, if you had to fill out those 6 spokes, what would generally show up, or the type of things you'd either be assessing for, or the type of things you'd be working with when it comes to relationship issues?
I'd be thinking about family systems.
Okay.
Some other models of relationships that the client has been exposed to or engaged in.
Mm-hmm.
I'd probably think about attachment injuries or attachment history.
Okay.
Do you want me to just keep listing them like that, Constance?
Sure, absolutely.
Okay, I'd be thinking about communication and being able to communicate needs.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'd be thinking about emotional awareness around awareness of emotional needs.
Okay.
I'd be thinking about negative interactional cycles within the relationship to come.
Okay.
And if there's an awareness of some of those interactional patterns.
Okay.
I guess I'd be thinking about trauma as well, past trauma history. Okay. Emotional regulation or dysregulation.
Okay. So now when you say emotional dysregulation, regulation, that's coming more from the clinical side, if that's what we're watching for, but for your client, how would that generally be showing up in their lives?
Maybe angry outbursts.
Okay.
Towards their partner or family member.
Okay.
Maybe crying, a lot of crying in the face of conflict and having difficulty more articulating or communicating at those times.
Okay. So anger management maybe?
Sure, yeah.
Okay.
I guess staying grounded in the heat of conflict or...
Okay. So conflict management?
Sure, yeah.
Okay.
I feel like communication is like the big blanket one that clients come in with, and they're like, mm-hmm. okay, I need to communicate better. I need to work on the communication. It's like, mm-hmm. let's unpack that.
Let yes. Me. But that you hit the nail on the head there, because that's what someone thinks they need. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so that's what we need to be able to say that we work on. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Even though you know you're working on all of these different levels, mm-hmm. if you have on your site, you know, I work with communication and boundaries, mm-hmm. then they're saying, oh, good, that's the thing I need.
Yeah.
Even
yeah.
though you know maybe it's trauma, it's dysregulation, it's all of these other pieces.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
So that's why it's that two-prong kind of attack in some ways of you need to look at it of what you know is going to be showing up, mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. through the lens of what is the client going to be calling it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, okay.
So yeah. Definitely communication boundaries. I mean, that's always a good one because it's kind of, it's a safe thing to have communication issues. Mm-hmm. Whereas anger management might not necessarily be as safe. For someone, conflict management, again, it's a bit more approachable.
Yeah.
And so then absolutely trauma is a huge piece. It's going to show up in relationships. It's just repetition of trauma cycles. Mm-hmm. And now another piece I know that you had mentioned just in the information that you'd given me before was grief and loss.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I kind of did a little bit of work before the call of just with relationships generally, a lot of the things that I see, and we got most of the same ones. So again, this is just more of what I wrote down, mm-hmm. is trauma, grief and loss, anger management or conflict management, depending on how you want to preface that, mm-hmm. communication, boundaries, and then depression and anxiety, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. as well.
For sure, yeah.
And the reason for that is being a specialist in relationships, you have to be a specialist in the others because they all show up. And so even mm-hmm. if your specialty was relationships, you're still actually going to catch people walking through the door of all of those other pieces if you speak to them on your website.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Okay. And so when you look at the people that you like to work with, I know one of the things that really stood out to me is it seems like you really like want to work with people long term, mm-hmm. and you like to work with first time clients. Mm-hmm. Does that feel like
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Okay. So again, when you're building your website and when you're building your marketing, it's actually speaking to that person.
Yeah.
You know, so when we're saying a day in the life of your ideal client, it's really helpful to actually try to narrow it down to one specific person, knowing you're going to still be pulling in from lots of different people. Lots of other people are going to resonate with it. But if you have one person in mind, it just makes everything a lot simpler. So, you know, it sounds like for you, your ideal client really is a first-time client. You know, most of their work, if they have done any, has been, you know, you had said that they get their advice from Oprah, Oprah and Brené Brown. You know, so they're doing a lot of searching through self-help.
Yeah.
They're searching through other wellness professionals, but they're maybe not necessarily going the doctor route.
Yeah.
And they're struggling in their relationships. Mm-hmm. So that relational piece is really going to be important to speak to.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And then being able to talk about the fact within relationships, I can help you work on the way that you are in conflict, mm-hmm. the way that you speak to your partner, help you resolve whatever it is that's happened for you in the past that maybe is making it hard for you, mm-hmm. to be fully present in your relationship.
Yeah.
You know? So that's where with this little sheet,
Mm-hmm.
It's like you want to be able to say, I know this is the problem, but in working with me, I'm going to be able to help you work with this, 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 and this.
Mm-hmm.
Which then makes you the easiest choice in the world for them, because you're hitting all the places in their life where it's showing up.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay.
Versus when we say, I just work with relationships.
Yeah.
Sometimes it can be a little bit vague or a little bit broad.
Mm-hmm.
What exactly that means.
I think that's the piece around kind of translating our clinical jargon to more of the kind of word on the street really mm-hmm. hits home for me. And that's been something that I've been really trying to think about during these activities.
Yeah. Well, and with this exercise and with that handout, you can flip it for any of these. So you could actually take relationships out and you could put trauma in the circle
mm-hmm.
and basically do the thing again. And a lot of the same things are going to show up because it's going to be impacting their relationships.
For sure. Yeah.
And with trauma, often there is grief and loss.
Yeah.
Trauma,
yeah.
There often is that piece around conflict management or anger management or, you know, being grounded. And so what you can do is actually go through with any of those pieces that you really resonate towards. So I know before we were talking about there was the relationships and the grief and loss and, mm-hmm. and those pieces, is actually go through and do this exercise a bunch of times for each of those pieces and start to see what is showing up over and over again in those spokes.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what's actually going to be your specialties.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, we pick our specialties, but often our specialties pick us based on the clients that we like working with.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? So do you have any questions around that?
No, I think that's helpful. I think the biggest thing for me to remember is to bring it back to, I guess, the client language and instead of the clinical language. Because even when you first asked me, I said, oh, well, attachment style, yeah. attachment patterns, and, you know, those pieces. So thinking yeah. that is really helpful.
Yeah, no, clients don't care.
Yeah.
I've only ever once had somebody say, oh, I'm here because you said on your website you talked about attachment styles. In 5 years, one person has actually known what that is.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So. Perfect. Okay. Do you have any more questions around that piece?
No, I think that's all. So basically lining up all the different areas that I feel are kind of my specialties and then looking at all the different ones and then the overlap will give mm-hmm. me a better distinction. Right?
Well, and also too, I noticed for you, you had elite athletes mm-hmm. as one, and you had couples as one, and you had all of these different pieces. So you can actually do this exercise with populations mm-hmm. as well as with issues. So again, if you looked at elite athletes, what are the issues that tend to show up for that population?
Mm-hmm.
If you look at kids in foster care, what are the issues that tend to show up?
Yeah, there's a ton of overlap.
Exactly. Actually.
Yeah.
You know, and so that's where you can either specifically target those groups mm-hmm. or just in your about you sections, you can actually just speak to, I have experience with X, Y, and Z, because mm-hmm. if that would just then be the deciding factor for someone because they already realized you work with all my things. Mm-hmm. Oh, and you get elite athletes, great. Or, oh, you have an understanding of someone who's been in foster care, great.
Mm-hmm.
So you can really come at it from whichever way feels most comfortable for you.
Okay.
Either picking your population and working with whatever their concerns are, or picking a concern and then working with whoever would walk through the door with those concerns.
Awesome. Okay.
Okay.
Cool. Thanks.
Great. Constance. Okay. So I'm going to open up everybody's mics again. All right. Now, Julia.
Yeah.
Do you have headphones on?
I have headphones on.
You do? Okay. There's just a little bit of background noise.
You know what? There won't be in a second. I'm sorry. I'm just walking past a very loud street performer.
Okay.
I'm on my way home and wanted to catch this and not miss out again because I always work on Wednesday evening.
No problem. Okay.
Can I ask a question? Is it question time?
This is question time. I was going to open it up for everybody.
Okay. So my question around that, just what you guys were talking about, mm-hmm. and let me know if there's still background noise,
if it's okay.
No. Okay. So my huge thing around that is how if we haven't been working with that ideal client, how do we know what their anticipated issues are going to be? Like, how do we...
Well, in the beginning...
that we haven't worked with them yet.
It's part of it is a best guess in the beginning. So can you give me an example of who's the client group that you're thinking you'd like to work with, but you haven't yet?
Well,
I lost you. Oh no. We will catch her in a second. I'm assuming she'll join us again. Did anybody else have a question about what we just went
through? Yeah, with some self-esteem stuff. But they're all very high functioning, and it's not major mental illness in any way.
Okay, sorry, we lost you for a second there. So can you...
Oh, I was just going to say that my clients are very high functioning and oftentimes quite successful. And that's sort of, so I don't always know, is that too broad to be narrowing down the kinds of issues that I need to be speaking to with them?
I would say it's too broad. because that doesn't really speak to anybody. It kind of speaks to everybody. So when you say you like with people who are high functioning without necessarily major mental health issues, what do you like working with them on?
But a lot around sort of self-esteem, perfectionism, and then the stuff that comes around that, like anxiety and fear and self-worth and all that.
Okay. So again, that's more narrow. So those would be the specialty pieces that you'd be looking at. So for the example with the handout that I sent everybody, you can put kind of a specific, for you, my guess is it's probably kind of higher functioning working class, kind of management level type people. And if you can kind of just get a bit of a description of who you think that person is, and then start looking at what are the main issues that tend to be showing up for that person. Because again, part of this is a bit of a guess, is you really just start with these are what I think these people are going to be struggling with, and then you start to see who actually calls.
Okay.
You know, so if you're putting out that, you know, I work with anxiety, I work with self-esteem, I work with self-confidence, I work with whatever all of those other spokes are,
yeah,
and then you start getting the type of client that you want, it's working. I would still invite you to really try to narrow it down a little bit more, even if it's just like working mothers, whether it's working with executives, whether it's something, because you want to have some type of differentiator. If somebody says, you know, I'm looking for a counselor, why would they pick you versus somebody else that works with self-confidence?
Right.
Because you're the person who works with executives who are working with self-confidence, for example.
Okay.
So if you can try to hone it in just a little bit more, it doesn't have to be super specific. It doesn't have to be like executives in the mining industry. Although if you did something like that, I mean, you would be the only show in town. So really the more specific you can get, the better. But if you can't get that specific, even just having some slight differentiator is really going to help.
Okay. Yeah, no, that helps. Okay, that gives you some things to really think about. Thank you.
Perfect. And same thing. I mean, in the group, feel free to just put what you have, and then we can hash it out together in the group.
Awesome. Thank you.
Okay. Perfect. Okay. So, does anyone else have any questions around either what this exercise was, or your particular client group, or any of the exercises that we had this week?
Constance, I think I have a question about, if I understand it correctly, what you're asking us to do is start as focused and as simple as you can, and then expand. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay.
And the reason for that is we often stay too broad.
Mm-hmm.
And exactly what I was saying with Julia is when we're too broad, we blend in too much. Mm-hmm. You know? So things like anxiety, if we want to stick to some of the more general specialties, which again are great, then you're going to need a bit more of a specific population to work with. Mm-hmm. Or if you want to work with a really specific concern, you can keep population much broader. Mm-hmm. But if you're working with a really broad population and a really broad concern, then there's no real reason for them to pick you versus someone else.
Right.
No. And you will get people on the extremes on either side. Picking a specific group, you know, so for example, if, you know, just for you, I'm not saying you need to do this, but if you were saying, I'm going to work with elite athletes, mm-hmm. there would be people who were not elite athletes that would be calling you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it might be someone who used to be an elite athlete, but now is a lawyer, or it mm-hmm. might be someone that is in a relationship with someone who is an elite athlete and wants to work with you because they figured you'll at least understand mm-hmm. what they're going through. You know, so in narrowing though, it gives people that really specific reason to work with you. And when we get further down the road, when it comes to the marketing pieces,
mm-hmm.
it's going to make that process so much simpler. Because if you know you're speaking to, so for example, with Courtney, she really likes first-time clients.
Mm-hmm.
That's a really different population than someone who's been through 5 or 6 different counselors and they've tried everything and nothing really works for them.
Mm-hmm.
So even in the way that you would approach it is, you know, I understand what it's like when you feel like you've tried it all.
Yeah.
Versus... sometimes reaching out for help can be scary.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're going to be just tailoring the way you're going to be approaching the issues a little bit differently.
Right.
You know, and like for example, with you know, we'll talk about this a little bit more with when we get down into more of the kind of the niche marketing pieces. But even so, for example, with something like we'll say eating disorders, being able to speak to eating disorders, disordered eating and emotional eating as separate things, because you're going to catch different people, even mm-hmm. though in a lot of ways they're still the same specialty, but you're going to catch different people who resonate with different language, even though the issue is still rooted in a somewhat similar place. People with emotional eating, it might be coming more from an anxiety place. If someone's already at the far end of the spectrum where it's an eating disorder, there might be a whole lot more on board for them. And you're going to have to be tailoring the way you talk about it differently based on that.
Okay.
So, does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? Okay. Perfect. Do you feel like you're comfortable with this exercise so far this week, or did you want to hash out a few
things? No, I mean, it made sense to me. It's just, you know, like for me, sometimes I've found, I think that I get lost in that marketing piece for exactly that reason, that I feel like I'm trying to spread my net just way too far.
Yeah.
And I do, I mean, I work, you know, I do work with such a wide variety of clientele, and it's difficult. I have found that I've been unsuccessful in marketing my practice, and I think it's because I just don't, just like we were just saying, I think maybe I started from the wrong end where I should have been starting like, okay, like for me, a big thing for me where I would say is my niche is working with athletes. And so I should be like, just focus on that. And then once I've established that, then I can expand and be focusing on other parts. And
well, and even with that, so if we, you know, using this, if we put athletes here, What are if you had to pick 6 things that generally walk through the door with athletes, what are the issues that you normally see?
I see a lot of self-esteem, self-doubt, anxiety, not depression necessarily, but you can get some sort of depression-like symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
What else? Goal setting.
Okay.
I mean, even just today I had a client, he's a high level hockey player and doesn't know what he wants to do after that. He's, you know, he may not have a scholarship in the next 3-4 months and he has no idea what he wants to do. And So yeah, it's, and the thing about that is, like you were saying, you were just speaking to that point, is yeah, those are specific to athletes, but they're also, you know, they also fall into, you know, maybe somebody who's, you know, having relationship issues. There's, you know, there's all kinds of things that could play into that. So yeah, those would be, I guess, if I was just off the top of my head, maybe those are the four or five things.
Well, and even life transition. Mm-hmm. So what planning for life after sport? What is that going to look like? Mm-hmm. So when you look at, kind of take some time with that piece of it, if you were to focus a little bit more on elite athletes, mm-hmm. and then spoke to these are the different areas that I work in. Like you said, we're going to mm-hmm. catch the elite athletes for sure, because they're like, well, you specialize in me, and mm-hmm. I have three of the six things you say you work with, so absolutely I'm going to pick you. But you might just catch someone who's switching careers and see do life transitions, and maybe they played hockey in high school and just think that it's cool that you understand what it's like to be an athlete.
Yeah.
And particularly for specialties like that, people will travel. There's a reason to go to the person who specializes in that population.
Yeah.
So, perfect. Great. And again, I mean, in the group, if you want to start honing some of those things, if you can get that in there, we can hash it out back and forth. Perfect. Okay. So anyone else have any questions about this week's materials? Any wonderings of why we did certain exercises, or want a little bit of help with where you're at so far?
I actually had a hard time picking that ideal client.
Okay. Like,
there wasn't sort of an age or like a broad sort of grouping. Mm-hmm. And I really, when I looked at, sorry, am I super loud?
No, you're good.
No. And when I looked at that sort of X factor, I really have a hard time picking it out, because it was a lot of, you just sometimes have chemistry. Mm-hmm. And I looked, like when I started writing specifics, it was different ages, gender, situations were really broad, but there was something that worked. And mm-hmm. I don't know how to put my finger on
it. Yeah. Well, and that's where not every single one of those 35 questions are going to be applicable, but you want to start seeing, okay, which ones are, so you can start tailoring towards that. So for example, in my practice, when I talk to someone, I'm generally talking to someone in their mid to late 30s. That doesn't mean I don't have clients who are in their 20s. That doesn't mean I don't have clients in their 60s. But when I'm, in my mind, when I'm writing the copy of my website, I'm speaking to someone at that stage of their life.
Okay.
So it doesn't have to be that you are only speaking to, say, a 35-year-old. But you want to at least start thinking about, you know, the way you would speak to someone who was in their 60s is much different than the way you would speak to somebody who was in their 20s. You know, and there's something about those clients that you have been working with already that is already tying them together. You know, like, so for example, it can be something like, for me, I know my ideal client shows up with a journal. I just know that. Like, they're the person who, they want to take notes, they want to write it down, they want to soak every second out of the sessions so that they can take it home, and then they're very action-based clients. That's who I tend to work best with. And I just know the second someone walks through the door, if they're just like, oh, great, I hope you don't mind if I write notes, I brought my journal, and I'm just like, we're going to get along just fine. we're going to be okay. Now, do I write that on my website of like must have journal? But what I do speak to is, I'm prepared to work as hard as you are. So I speak to the people who want to work hard. They're there because they want change. You know, so that's where some of these pieces come in handy. And I was saying before the recording started, just for those of you who weren't here, it's okay if some of the stuff you have no idea where it's going to fit in just yet. Just put your best guess down. Because as we go through the next, well, really, all the rest of the weeks, I was going to say marketing in particular, but really all of them, they're all of these little pieces that right now you're like, I don't know why it matters if my client does yoga, or I don't know why it matters if they ride a bike, or I don't see how this has to do with anything. It will start to become apparent as we go forward. So even for now, if you're saying, I just have no idea what this has to do with anything, or it doesn't seem like there's a real common thread, just put down what you have so far, because there's going to be something that connects them. It could just be an attitude. It could be a worldview. It could be a lot of things. So it's actually figuring, the more we do this, the more it'll become clear. So does that help, Janine? I know it's not.
No, totally. And that's what I sort of, I was thinking about. Mm-hmm. I also started thinking about marketing and sort of when we looked at sort of who was in our area. Mm-hmm. And so deaf and dying, grief and loss, but there wasn't a lot of counselors in that area, but a lot of the other ones, there was, I forget exactly, 70 or whatever.
Yeah.
And then there was only 16 in grief and loss specifically. So part of me was well, maybe that I want to use that as that circle. Yeah. And then because you say, that's why I start going around and around, because it all fits together, and you could put it in this, and this happens there. So if your focus is on relationships, but then there's also trauma and attachment, or do you say, I focus on trauma, and then there's that, how that's, that's how it impacts the relationship, sort of that kind of thing. So then, yeah.
And that's where really it just depends on what you want to focus on. Because as clinicians, we know they're all connected.
Right.
So it's more, given your ideal client, what do they think their problem is?
Right.
So that's why I was asking everybody to really think in your client's eyes, what do they see the problem as? What are they saying their issue is? So for my client, I work with adult children of alcoholics. They think their problem is relationships. But their problem is not relationships. Their problem is a history of neglect often that's really put them in a place where relationships are hard, intimacy is hard, and they really have a struggle with boundaries. So they'll often show up because of boundaries or because of something else. I know it's all tied together in because of past life history for them, but they don't know that. So you have to start looking at what doors would they want to walk through that they could then identify with. So that's where you could pick any of them. There isn't really a right one to pick. There's certain niches that just because there's less people, it's an easier niche. So for example, with grief and loss in your area, if there isn't that many people, it would be an easier one, just because there would be a little bit less people to choose from for people. And then once if that was their concern, and then they saw that you worked with all these other pieces, it would be quite easy. That's why I never say you want to, unless you really, really, really specialize in anxiety and depression and in some form of specialization in your treatment and maybe specialize in anxiety and depression with a really specialized population. I generally don't recommend saying I specialize in anxiety and depression, because that's basically every therapist in the world. So you need to kind of pick, what is it about anxiety and depression? Do you work with a certain group that has that? Or is it anxiety and depression and something else?
Constance, and I understand what you're saying, but then how do you avoid, I guess, running into that situation where people then go, maybe you're not the right person for me then?
I don't find that's going to happen as much as you think it's going to happen.
Okay.
And again, that's where if you can figure out who your client is,
mm-hmm.
and you can tick enough of the boxes, people make their choice on a really emotional level. Mm-hmm. So there, and most times people don't actually know what the issue is. Mm-hmm. And the more you can start to figure out what they think the problem is, and actually speak to that, the rest doesn't matter.
Okay.
No, it's a fear that we all have of I'm gonna say I work in the, specialize in the wrong thing, and then people are going to pass me by. Mm-hmm. But generally, if as who we are as a therapist is really clear, and we're really able to say this is who I am and this is how I see the world, and we're going to do a lot more with that in week 5 when we're going through your business core values, which is really going to make that so clear for your ideal client that, yeah, this person just gets the world like I get the world, paired with, oh, isn't that great? I think maybe I have some issues with communication, and they say they work with that, box ticked, and I'm making the phone call.
Can I add a little something that
kind of changed me?
So I just had a little bit of this aha as I'm thinking about it and all you guys talking about this stuff. And oftentimes the clients that I like to work with are people, and I think as therapists we do this, is that it's people like us. Mm-hmm. People that we really get, that we really resonate mm-hmm. with, mm-hmm. and that's kind of the people that we like to work with. That said, so these are often the clients that I feel the most groove with because I get it. I get what they're going through the most, and you just have that automatic connection.
Yeah.
But the caveat is that those are the clients I like to work with, but I find that there's an added piece with the clients that I like working with even more. So it's people like me, but people that are a little less fickle than me. So the kind of clients that I attract are kind of, a lot of times, the people that are, so they're kind of like, you know, tell me what to do, tell me how to do it, you know, let's get in and out and get this done. But what I really appreciate working with is the people that get the process.
Yeah.
That they get that there's not a solution, that they get that this takes some time. And so really I've been thinking about, okay, how do I speak more to them?
Yes.
And how do I be attracting more of those types of people as opposed to the quote unquote millennials who want it done and want it done in a New York minute, want to get in and out and have their problems solved.
Exactly. So that's, I'm so glad you brought that up, because that is the thing. Sometimes it can just be a slight tweak, because that one piece actually differentiates two very distinct groups of the people
yes.
that really want to come in and do the work and see it as a process, see it as a longer term experience versus the ones that just want to get in and want to get out. If you're targeting one versus the other, you're going to be speaking a very, very different language.
Yeah. Totally. Yeah, no, that was just my little aha that I wanted to share.
Thank you. That's a good aha. And those types of things, like throughout the program, those things are going to pop for you. As we go through every different exercise, there's going to be, you're going to be looking at this from so many different ways that, again, it's okay if right now it doesn't feel 100% clear. But the more you just almost let it percolate in the back of your mind and start looking at it again through that lens of this is what I see the problem as versus this is what I think my client sees the problem as, it's really going to shift the way that we're going to be building pretty well everything else from now on. So, does anyone else have any questions? No? Some quiet ones today. Now, with this one in particular, I really, really invite you to, pretty please, if you're stuck, please just put it in the group, put what you have, even if it's just, I think I like working with adults. Even if you just have the smallest piece of who you'd like to work with, put it in and I can ask you some questions and we can really start hashing it out together, because this, I would really say this week is really the crux of the whole program. The more you can start to understand this and spend some time with this, the easier everything else is going to be. And so please spend some time with this week. It's not the week to try to skip and then catch up 6 weeks from now. The next 6 weeks will be very difficult if you try to do that. and I know I was saying earlier, this next week is going to be much, much less labor intensive. You've had two really heavy thinking weeks and pondering weeks. And so this next week is going to be much easier. There's only two assignments and they're really combining everything that we've done over the last few weeks. So again, if you haven't been able to catch up on everything, you're going to have basically the next week and a half to really just roll around in everything that we've talked about over the last few weeks and get yourself caught up. Okay.
So you're saying we have a week to put our to get you to help us hone it down?
Well, you have me until December, but it would be good to just, if you can now, if you can make the space, and even if you just have a few minutes and you can just throw in the group, I'm really struggling with this. The great thing about the group is we can have a conversation over 3 days of just getting back to each other when we can. So you don't have to necessarily kind of park yourself in front of your computer and take a lot of time with it. Just throw out what you have, and I can start helping you hone it in, because this one, it's an easy week to get stuck on, and the more clarity you can get now, the rest is just going to be simpler for you.
So we can basically do a bit of a brain dump and have Absolutely. You and the rest of the group help us clean up our dump.
Basically, yes. Think of us as a cleanup crew.
Right? That's awesome.
That's what it's there for. Because I also know, too, with these calls, often we have to go away and think about it and see how it applies to us. And so sometimes questions don't necessarily come up right now. It might be tomorrow or 2 days from now when you really realize how maybe it would impact you. So feel free, like I said, feel free to use the group. That's what it's there for. And thank you for those of you who are jumping in and commenting on other people's input as well. I think that's great. And you all have so much to share. So don't be afraid. It's not just somewhere for people to ask me questions. It's where everybody can give their two cents as well. So.
And I just want to say, Constance, too, I really, really appreciate what you said about that fear. And sorry, I should look at, okay, hang on, what was his name? About Sean, what you said around fearing that we specialize too much and then we turn away some really potentially great clients that we want to work with. And how you said, Constance, that doesn't really happen, that we just need to kind of trust that when we're speaking to our ideal client, mm-hmm. that client will find us, and other people that want to work with us and that we're the right fit for will find us. Like, there won't Absolutely. Be sort of the scarcity that we're all kind of scared of with honing it in too much.
Yeah. Well, and thank you for that, Julie. I mean, I had an experience not that long ago where I had someone who was a cancer patient. Who I don't specialize in cancer. I've never worked with a cancer patient before. I don't work with any chronic health concerns per se. There's nothing on my website that speaks to that. And she had found me through a directory that I'm on with a holistic health center, found my website and just said that she thought I had a nice energy. And I had told her straight up that was not my specialty. And she said, oh, that's okay. I know I looked at your site, but I just really want to work with you. And we did some incredible work together. It was really an honor to work with her. And yet nowhere on my website do I have anything to do with that. And so the more you can just be really clear about who you are, there's going to just be certain people who just decide, you know what, I just like you.
Yeah.
And we'll just work together and we'll figure it out together. And so we don't have to worry so much that the right person's going to not pick us, because if they didn't pick us, that usually means they weren't the right person. And the right people will pick you, that I promise. they are already out there. They're just waiting for you to show up. So on that note, we will, that brings us to the end. These sessions always go by so quickly. But yeah, like I said, oh, there you are.
I know, that's me. So I'm just walking home and it's quieter now. So
hi, Julia.
Hi.
So yeah, just use the group and use that sheet. I figured I realized I use that with my one-on-one clients, but I realized that handout wasn't in the group. So I thought that might be helpful for you guys. And we will figure it out together. No one's left behind.
Thanks, Constance. All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye.